You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Travel on Southwest Airlines this holiday was reminiscent of the 1987 film Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, except without the comedy. The winter storms that dominated much of California and surrounding states caused massive cancellations, with Southwest Airlines taking the brunt of the impact. But that's not the entire picture. Yet another culprit in the airline's meltdown, misplaced staff, technical problems with outdated equipment, helped to make holiday travel much, much worse. So why was the impact so devastating? And how did Southwest Airlines come to dominate the skies for Californians? Here to answer these questions is California correspondent for the New York Times, Sean Hubler. Good morning, Sean. Nice to see you.
Hi, nice to see you too.
How big of a footprint does Southwest Airlines have in California?
Well, it's essential. One airline industry analyst I spoke with said it was almost the unofficial airline in California, is what he called it. I mean, anyone who has to travel regularly between Northern and Southern California knows that the state relies on Southwest. It's two-thirds, some factoids, okay, two-thirds of the state, all of this, two-thirds of all of the seats for sale on flights within California are on Southwest Airlines. Southwest is the top airline. It's 7 out of 10 of California's busiest airports, Oakland, Sacramento, San Jose, Burbank, Long Beach. And, you know, so it's to put it shortly, briefly, it's the busiest airline in the nation's most populous state.
Given that there are obviously other options throughout the state, and you're talking about an airline that dominates two-thirds of flights throughout in California, what's unique about Southwest Airlines that allows it to dominate air travel in our state?
Until this meltdown, the business model. Southwest is affordable. It flies to a lot of different locations, and it doesn't make you route through a hub. You can fly directly from, say, Burbank to Sacramento easily without going through, say, LAX. The company culture has been kind of welcoming. The Southwest attendants, a lot of people really like them. They sing, they tell jokes, you know, they're the stars of viral videos. It's got a pretty loyal fan base, or it has until now.
Yeah, it definitely has a unique work culture when you take a Southwest flight, especially when it comes to Sacramento International Airport. It seems to be really like a highly reliable source of travel for lawmakers that are traveling from their districts to the state capitol.
Oh, it's part of the capital ecosystem. It actually has the way that it's developed. I mean, Southwest is lawmakers fly up on Monday during session and they fly home on Thursday. And lobbyists here will try to book seats on flights next to them so they can kind of buttonhole them during the flight. Officials from, you know, a lot of people who have to come up to testify, for example, or people who have to fly up to do business with the state use Southwest constantly. To be on a Monday morning flight in Southwest is to be surrounded really by state lawmakers of all sorts.
I would imagine that this volume of travel also translates into Southwest Airline being successful. I mean, how does it fare compared to other airlines in terms of how it's being profitable?
It's never had to declare a bankruptcy. Southwest is a successful, profitable airline. It's one of the largest airlines in the country, and it grew into that position from a pretty humble beginnings. I mean, it started in the late '60s as a commuter airline in Texas. Most Californians would bristle at that. They don't like to be like Texas, but actually, it was modeled on a California airline, Pacific, PSA. It started as a commuter airline. It's now a national airline, but California, of course, has a special relationship with it.
So with the hindsight now of a couple of weeks since this meltdown, explain what happened.
So a couple of things happened. Okay. As my colleagues in business in our business section have reported it pretty thoroughly. So Southwest has this business model. It's been a successful business model. It doesn't rely on routing people through hubs. It flies point to point. it manages to do this with by volume. It keeps planes in the air pretty successfully. It has a fast turnaround time, but at Christmas time, at one of the heaviest air travel periods, in the year, in all over the country, a bomb cyclone hit, and it caused weather disruptions all over the country. So when that kind of thing happens, when that sort of a weather emergency happens, airlines that have that rely on a hub are able to kind of shut down their operations in the affected parts of the country and shift operations to hubs in parts of the country that are less affected. And so other airlines, although they had disruptions too, were able to recover pretty within a day or so from this weather system that just really socked in airports in the Northeast and in the Midwest. And unfortunately, Southwest didn't have those hubs and couldn't recover because of those. And also because Southwest had not invested, because it is so lean, upgrades that were underway apparently, but they had not yet managed to complete upgrades to important sort of systems that they had for deploying crew and making sure that its planes had enough attendants and that its attendants were in the right places and were there to prevent flights from being grounded because they didn't have enough people on board to operate them safely. And so whereas other airlines then had cancellations and problems for maybe a day or two, Southwest became completely overwhelmed. And its solution to the problem was just to kind of hit the reset button, and it preemptively canceled just thousands and thousands of flights. Just to give you an idea, over the last 10 days of December, Southwest canceled 17,000 flights nationally. And it just, it stranded just, many thousands of people for the holidays with their Christmas presents and lost suitcases. And it was just a mess. It was a meltdown. It was aptly termed.
Yeah, it was like travel chaos. I mean, you're talking about 17,000 canceled flights and the chaotic ripple effects from that. You know, the airlines has been around for over 50 years. I mean, how significant was this meltdown in the airlines' history? Has anything like this happened before?
Not really. And, that was one of the things that was so shocking. I mean, Southwest has a very loyal fan base, right? And one of the reasons has been that it was seen as so well managed in a sense that, to give you a taste of the history. I mean, when Southwest came into being, air travel, this was in the late 60s, and air travel was viewed at the time as being sort of a luxury that people were intimidated by, and they felt they had to get dressed up to go on a flight. I mean, some of us will remember. And Southwest made it fun, took the stuffiness out of it. The airline people relied on that airline, to deliver sort of a reliable and affordable and punctual service to get where they were going. And in California, all over the country, but it's viewed as a business airline, a commuter airline. People can fly it cheaply. There are lots of perks for flying cheaply. So it was a big disruption for folks.
What kind of oversight is there, or any accountability from either? Yeah. What follows this from this? debilitated air travel across the state for thousands and thousands of people.
Well, there is accountability. As you can imagine, if you happened to be in the airport in Sacramento over the holidays, you might have been in the Southwest terminal that was lined with, it was filled and with just rows and rows and rows and rooms of lost luggage, misplaced luggage. I mean, it was quite a landscape. It was such an upsetting landscape that, in fact, I was at the Southwest terminal and I ran into a musician who performs a, who busks at the farmer's market in Midtown, and she was singing kind of calming music so that people would not be quite so upset.
They also have like therapy pets too.
It was
at
like
the airport.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, air travel, it's regulated by the federal government. But a lot of legislators were actually shaken up by the threat to their mode of transportation. They notice, you know, kind of what happens to them, too. And they were hearing from a lot of their constituents as well at the state level. At the federal level, it's looking like there will be congressional hearings. There is some talk of that last week. So it's likely that Southwest is going to be called on the carpet by Congress and asked to testify about what went wrong and what can be done to fix it. But even at the state level here, there has been, a certain amount of talk about, kind of why does California, one of the raps on California, people talk about it being a state full of cars, a state reliant on freeways. And one of the wraps on it is that there's no, real mass transportation, and people talk about Southwest the way that they talk about mass transportation, so there's been a kind of a bump in conversation and chatter about what about rail? Why doesn't California have better alternatives if the airlines go out? And there's been a change in the tone a little bit in the talk about high speed rail and the bullet train. Had the bullet train been in operation when Southwest melted down, people might have had an alternative. They might have been able to take a fast mm-hmm. train. There's a little bit of soul searching that's happening.
And more for you to follow. Sean Hubler is a California correspondent for The New York Times. Thank you so much for the time, Sean.
My pleasure.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. We're diving into the holiday meltdown at Southwest Airlines, which dominates California skies. Moving forward, how should consumers prepare in the event that this type of issue happens again? Here with that piece of the conversation is Gabe Saglier, senior editor with TravelZoo. Welcome, Gabe.
Hello, Vicky.
So you log hundreds of thousands of miles in travel, and I imagine have some pretty gnarly travel delay stories in your book. How significant was what happened at Southwest Airlines, from widespread cancellations followed by all the chaos that ensued?
And listen, as Sean alluded to, I think the biggest thing is that it really disappointed a major base of loyalists who today probably are on the fence as to whether they want to fly Southwest all over again. Clearly, we're dealing with a system here that is outdated. There are processes in place to try to upgrade these computer systems, which in some cases are 30 to 40 years old. It's certainly true at Southwest. It's true at the FAA, as we found out this week. So it's not just relegated to this one airline. But clearly, Southwest is dealing with a bit of an identity crisis, a reputational crisis, and how it responds to this will certainly help define how it moves forward. There have been refunds issued. There has been luggage returned, but certainly not everybody has been made whole. And this is something that we're keeping a close eye on here over the next several weeks for sure.
I mean, for those who had cancellations and were left stranded, I know reimbursements are taking place. In the future, what advice would you give passengers to prepare for this type of issue and how they can resolve a canceled flight? I mean, people had left their car keys in luggage, medication, gifts, valuables, and there were some reports of even theft of luggage as well, because it was just inundating baggage claims.
And that's something to also look at, not just certainly beyond these private airlines, is the infrastructure at airports across the country. When this kind of thing happens, airports are simply not equipped to efficiently and quickly handle the volume when it comes to things like bags, luggage, equipment, et cetera. So that's part of the overall picture here that we've got to look at, is that infrastructure at our airports, certainly the big ones, but even the small ones, as we discovered in the Southwest situation, to simply have enough personnel and enough of a program in place to deal with these kinds of issues. I mean, the worst case scenario simply is what happened there with Southwest at the end of 2022. The FAA has been having issues this year. I was caught in a bomb cyclone situation in the Northeast back in January of 2018 with one of the big carriers, and it took my family 5 days to be able to fly back from New York to California. So this is not necessarily new, but again, as Sean mentioned, with Southwest, with its very optimistic and upbeat personality, with a very large band of loyal flyers, certainly it demonstrated that it was not equipped to deal with an issue that we saw coming. We knew that there were issues with internal communications. We knew there was a big storm on the way as we headed toward Christmas weekend. And even that foresight was not enough to prevent these problems. So I think for consumers, a couple of things. We are exiting the pandemic with a lot of enthusiasm out there. So if we saw periods in 2022 during the summer, during the holidays, of increased travel volume, we will see that again this year. There were several days during that Christmas week where the TSA throughput numbers, the number of folks that they're actually putting through security, outpaced 2019 pre-pandemic levels. So clearly volume is up, and that's just something we're going to have to contend with. I think streamlining the way we travel is a smart way to go. Folks who did not check any luggage simply were in a better position than those of us who did check our bags. It's inevitable sometimes. We had to get, you know, gifts from one place to another. But at the end of the day, streamlining the way we travel, I think, is a smart way to go. And having a plan B in mind, even if it's the back of your mind, is probably a smart thing to do as well. If I'm flying from Sacramento to Los Angeles, maybe I have a car rental reservation on standby. You don't get charged if you don't show up. The car rental companies don't like me saying that, but at the end of the day, if you have that backup, you might be in a slightly better position should these kinds of things happen. And if you're aware, as we were, that there was a major weather system on the way that could conceivably affect travel nationwide.
Yeah, being proactive, because these things happen, as you endured it with your family, you know, a few years ago. Southwest Airlines, they're now, you know, in recovery mode, you know, obviously, because they have a potentially damaged relationship with customers and passengers. The CEO gifted Rapid Rewards points. That's, you know, a frequent flyer rewards program with like 25,000 points, saying it's the equivalent of $300. Do you think this gesture goes far enough? And how would other airlines handle it?
So, yeah, 25,000 loyalty reward points, about $300. And certainly refunds are on the way with around things like car rentals, hotel stays, meals. So that is in the works as well. We're looking at close to $1 billion hit that Southwest is going to take at the end of the day, based on lost revenue and these kinds of outreach proposals. So they're gonna take a substantial hit. Is it enough? No. If I'm somebody who was stuck at the airport, missed a family gathering that I've been waiting for a couple of years because of COVID, it probably is not enough. One thing that I think we're learning from this, aside from this point-to-point system that you mentioned just a little while ago, which is under review, which I think worked for Southwest when it was a smaller airline, it is now the fourth largest carrier in North America. So as it has ballooned in its scope, perhaps this point-to-point system needs to be looked at a little bit more closely. Maybe we beef up operations at some of its pseudo hubs, like in Oakland, Love Field, Midway, Phoenix. That's something to look at. Also, Southwest does not have interline agreements. That's which is pretty pervasive with these low-cost carriers, which means that if you lose your flight on Southwest, they don't have an agreement with, say, United Airlines to get you on that flight and get you off to your destination. Spirit and Frontier are in the midst of a merger proposal here that's underway. They, as individual carriers, also don't have these interline agreements, but in the merger proposal, they would, in fact, have agreements with other airlines to get consumers, get flyers on other carriers' flights as one alternative to get folks going again. So I think that aside from these internal communication systems that need to be overhauled at Southwest, some of just the way that it's done business that's worked so well, that everybody loves, that allows them to streamline costs and gives us $39, $49 fares. I saw a $49 sale from Southwest pop up today. That may need to be overlooked. And then the question becomes, can it sustain that kind of low-cost carrier status? Or should we be prepared to create more of a safety net to, instead of paying $49 each way, to pay $79 each way as a way to allow an airline like Southwest to deliver on its promises.
Yeah, I mean, that's an important point. Southwest has a lot of perks that other airlines don't. I mean, they don't really charge for cancellation or change fees. You get free checked bags, up to 2 bags. You know, finally, Gabe, I mean, beyond this holiday travel chaos, there's like, is there a bigger message? I mean, even this week, as you mentioned, the FAA grounded air travel on Wednesday. Is there a bigger message being sent to airlines and the industry as a whole?
Optimistically, volume is up. We're going to keep traveling. This is going to be another banner year for travel in many sectors, and that's good news. But clearly, whether it's the FAA, whether it's any of the airlines that operate across the U.S., there has to be greater investment in things like staffing. United Airlines announced this week that they're hiring 15,000 more employees this year to handle the rebounding volume in travel. That needs to become more pervasive across the industry and at the FAA level. Technology needs to be upgraded. I mean, it's happening in stages. What caused the issues with the FAA this week was part of a multi-tier upgrade to one of their systems. So we are in effect doing that, but perhaps there's a way to ramp that up, throw more investment in that technology to help prevent these kinds of problems. And as I mentioned earlier, airport infrastructure is also extremely important. And then, you know, because at the end of the day, we need to start asking questions. Do we need to privatize some of these things as a way to allow a smooth travel as we deserve as consumers from coast to coast? Or can, in fact, our federal authorities prioritize this kind of thing through greater investment, through greater staffing to prevent these kinds of meltdowns again?
Gabe Sagle is a senior editor at Travel Zoo. Appreciate the conversation, Gabe.
Thanks very much, Vicky.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.